too.
Judy?
I think they're only, we're the only two right now.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. How are you? Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm going to be about 3 or 4 minutes, so I'm going to come back in about 3 or 4 minutes. I apologize for the delay.
That's fine.
That's okay. Do you know what class number this is?
Four, I think.
Four, okay.
I'm not sure.
Hello.
Hello.
It's me. It's Brandela.
Oh, we're waiting. He said he would be about 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay. Sounds good.
Good evening. I'm
good
back.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoach. Anna Bakoach. We're going to use the sequence Yud Kaf Shin to take any part of our body that is ailing, that needs healing, back to its stem cell state, where it will be healed, where it will be rejuvenated. And then we will bring it back into our body in its pristine state of having been healed and rejuvenated. Barchem Tacharem And the letters of the month, the Resh, that created the planet Kohav, the planet Mercury, and the Yud that created the constellation Betulah, the Virgin, the Virgo. Shavatenu Kabel, Atziatatenu, And the verse from this year, this coming year of 5774. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. I'm reading from the Parasha of the Zohar of Ki Tetzé. I'm reading verse 102 from section 21. To confirm all manner of transactions, a man pulled off his shoe. Vayehino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunenei aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunenehu. Aval shekinta atzal kutsha parichu la mishtahet. Bekudesha parichu legabala ishtanui ahidiktiv. Ani Hashem lo shaniti, ani shekinta Hashem. Amudad em saita, shalef ish na'alo, da sandal fon. Sandal ihu, legabe kucha barichu. V'na'al legabe shekinta, aval tefi teferet, kekalil shit tefiran. Ihu gufa liyadovad umalhut gufa lishkinte. Ihu Adonai. But the Shekhinah, when with the Holy One, blessed be He, does not change. Nor does the Holy One, blessed be He, change when with her. This is the meaning of I am Hashem, I do not change. I is the Shekhinah. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is the central pillar, namely Zeranpin. A man pulled off his shoe refers to Sandalphon, who is a sandal by the Holy One. Blessed be he, and a shoe by the Shekhinah. But Tiferet, that includes six Sephirot, is a body to the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, and Malchut is a body to the Shekhinah, that is Adonai. This verse is amazing. This verse is dealing with the language of branches, and it's giving us code words, how Aleph Daled Nun Yud, which we pronounce Adonai, is a body for an angel. Let me correct that. It's the fulfillment for the body that is the angel. And we don't realize it. Whenever we say Adonai, we're giving this angel Sandalphon some fulfillment. And the same is true when we say the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. And understanding these relationships and understanding these code words as we read them. Remember, we create what we speak. Even if we don't see the creation gets created. Does anybody have any questions? Tonight's class, we're continuing to read from Rabbi Ashlag's introduction to the Ten Luminous Emanations. I'm lost my place, but you will find it. You will find it on the Revealed Wisdom page. And I believe it's the second column from the left, the advanced classes, where it says 10 luminous emanations. I believe it's the 10th or 11th row. And if you click on that, you'll be able to scroll down to class number 4, the handout for class number 4, which opens up to section 26. But we went through a few of those sections, so tonight we're starting at section 30. Thus you have a clear answer about the fourth and the fifth questions in the beginning of the introduction. And what you find in the words of our sages, as well as in the holy books, that it is only given to one whose heart is worried, meaning the part called secrets of the Torah, considered the first three Sephirot and Rosh, the head, that it is given to only concealed ones, and under certain conditions. You will not find that it is given to only concealed ones. You will not find even a trace of them in all of the books of Kabbalah, in the writing and in print, since those are the things that the Atik Yomim has covered, as it is written in the Gemara. Moreover, do say, if it is possible to even think and picture, that all those holy and famous righteous, which are the greatest and best in the nation, such as the Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Zohar, and the Baraita of Rabbi Ishmael, Rabbi HaGaon and Rabbi Chamai Gaon, Rabbi Elazar of Gamiza, and the rest of the Rishonim, the first ones, through the Ramban, and the Baal HaTarim, and the Baal Shulchan Aruch, through the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, and the Ladi Gaon, and the rest of the righteous, may the memory of all be blessed. For when we receive the whole of the revealed Torah, and by their words we live, to know which act to perform so as to be favored by the Creator, all of them wrote and published books in the wisdom of Kabbalah. And there is no greater disclosure than writing a book whose author does not know who reads the book. It is possible that utter wicked will scrutinize it. Hence, there is no greater uncovering of secrets of Torah than that. And we must not doubt the words of these sages, of these holy and pure people, that they might infringe even an iota on what is written and explained in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, that are forbidden to disclose as written in Masechet Hagiga. Rather, all the written and printed books are necessarily considered the ta'amim of the Torah, which Atik Yomim first covered and then uncovered, as it is written, and the palate tasted its food. Not only are these secrets not forbidden to disclose, on the contrary, it is a great mitzvah, a very good deed to disclose them, as it is written in Pesachim 19. And one who knows how to disclose and discloses them, his reward is plentiful. This is because on disclosing these lights to many, particularly to the many, depends the coming of the Messiah soon in our days. Amen. My commentary. Please note, when you say the name of the sage or the name of the book of the sage that the sage has written, you are referring to the same thing. A book and a name of a sage are the same thing. An aspect of the soul of the person. When you write something, if you are not revealing your essence, meaning your soul, you are not doing it properly. This applies to an essay on a high school exam or a bestseller on the New York Times bestseller list. This is truly something that needs to be contemplated. Rabbi Ashlag is also teaching that if it has become revealed, then it transfers from the sod to the tameh. If it was sod, it would not be revealed by these caliber of people. It also is teaching the evil people can learn the level called tameh, but would never learn sod, since it has never been taught by the physical people. It is only taught by the heavenly academy levels, who know the inner essence of someone and would never teach a secret to an evil person. Now, many of my students are Jews by choice. What is the implication of this section on the teachings of the man from Nazareth and his followers? Is the New Testament positive or negative? How can wars be waged in the name of religion by Kabbalists? How can a mikubal curse a person for following his heart and claiming he is doing wrong, to teach or reveal any aspect of wisdom. How can these wise sayings in the wisdom of the other religions, how can they be incorrect to be revealed? One of the premises of a Makubal is he understands that what he writes is indicating an essence of his soul. And as such, he is able to perceive generations down the path. He is able to see in what way his soul, his words, will be used. And if he sees that it will be abused and be used in a wrong way, how can he reveal this? Section 31. There is a great need to explain once and for all why the coming of the Messiah depends on the study of Kabbalah by the masses, which is so prevalent in the Zohar and in all the books of Kabbalah. They all say that Messiah will come only through the revelation, the study of the Zohar and the Kabbalah. The populace has already discussed it pointlessly, and it has become unbearable. The explanation of this matter is expressed in the Tikkunim, the corrections of the Zohar, Tikkun 30. Abbreviated translation. When the Holy Divinity went into exile, this spirit blows upon them who engage in the Torah, because the Holy Divinity is among them. They are all as hay-eating beasts. Every grace that they do for themselves. Even all those who do study the Torah, every grace that they do for themselves. In that time, the spirit leaves and does not return to the world. This is the spirit of the Messiah. Woe unto them that make the spirit of the Messiah leave and not return to the world. They make the Torah dry and do not want to delve into the wisdom of Kabbalah. These people cause the sprouting of the wisdom, which is the Yud in the name Havaya, to depart. The spirit of the Messiah leaves, the spirit of holiness, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And God said, let there be light. This is the light of love, the love of mercy. As it is written, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. It is said about that, if ye awaken and if ye stir up love until it please, then it is love not in order to receive reward. This is because if fear and love are in order to receive reward, it is a handmaid. A handmaid is heir to her mistress. My commentary. Rabbi Ashlag is now using the concept of a handmaid for Lo Lishma, and the many positive statements like fear of the Lord, spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of the Mashiach, and many others terms to mean Lishma. Why do you think the language has changed? Here is a hint. What is the language of branches, and how do I use it? Section 32. We shall begin to explain the Ketuvim of the Zohar from toe to head. He says that the fear and the love one has in the practice of Torah and mitzvot in order to receive reward, meaning while hoping for some benefit from the Torah and the work, this is considered the handmaid. It is written about her, a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. This is seemingly perplexing, for it is written, one will always engage in Torah and mitzvot, even lowly Shema, and why the earth doth quake. In addition, we must understand the correlation of the engagement in lowly Shema, specifically to the handmaid, and also the parable that she inherits her mistress. What inheritance is there here? My commentary. What do you think is the meaning of toe to head? Is it malchut to keter or another meaning? Can you think of some other meaning? Section 33. You will understand the matter with everything that is explained above in this introduction, that they did not permit the study in lowly Shema, but only since from lowly Shema one comes to Lishma, since the light in it reforms. Hence, engagement in lowly Shema is considered a helping handmaid who assists and performs the ignoble works for her mistress, the Holy Divinity. This is because at last one will come to Lishma and will be imparting the inspiration of divinity. Then the maid, which is the engagement in lowly Shema, will also be considered a maid, a holy maid, for she supports and prepares the holiness. So she will be considered the world of Asiya, of the Kedusha. However, if one's faith is incomplete and he does not engage in the Torah or in the work only because the Creator commanded him to study, then we have seen above that in such Torah and work, the light does not appear. This is because one's eyes are flawed, and like a bat turns the light into darkness. Such a study is no longer considered a maid of Kedusha, since he will not acquire Lishma through it. Hence it comes to the domain of the maid of the Klipa, which inherits these Torah and work, and robs them for herself. Hence the earth doth quake, meaning the holy divinity called earth. This is so because those Torah and good works that should have come to her as possessions of the holy divinity, that evil handmaid robs and lowers them to be a possession of the Klipot. Thus the handmaid is heir to her mistress. My commentary. This is amazing to see how the words in the language of branches become so very deep when we have a teacher who just hints to the relationships. Which of us would think that the handmaid and the holy maid have different concepts, and then how they apply to the meaning of the earth is quaking, and the meaning of the word earth is different than we think of it on its literal level. To be this is simply amazing and beautiful. Would anybody like to make any comments? 34. The Tikkunim of the Zohar interpret the meaning of the oath, if ye awaken and if ye stir up love until it please. The precision is that Israel will draw the light of the upper chesed, the upper mercy called love of mercy, since this is what is desired. This is drawn particularly by the engagement in Torah and in mitzvot, not in order to receive reward. The reason is that the light of the upper wisdom is extended to Israel through the light of mercy. Appearing and clothing in this light of mercy, which Israel extends. And this light of wisdom is the meaning of the verse, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon the spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. In the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. It is said about the King of the Messiah, and he will set up an ensign for the nations and will assemble the dispersed of Israel and gather together the scattered of Judah from the four corners of the earth. This is because after Israel extends the light of wisdom through the light of mercy, the Messiah appears and assembles the dispersed of Israel. Thus, everything depends on the practice of Torah and the work being done lishma, which can extend the great light of mercy where the light of wisdom clothes and extends. This is the meaning of the oath, if ye awaken and if ye stir up. It is so because complete redemption and assembling the exiles are impossible without it, since so are the channels of holiness arranged. They also interpreted, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. What is the Spirit of God? During the exile, when Israel were still occupied in Torah and mitzvot, lo lishma. If they are in this way, because from lo lishma one comes to lishma, then divinity is among them through its exile. Since they still have not reached lishma. This is the meaning of the text, when divinity is in concealment. However, they are bound to attain the revelation of divinity, and then the spirit of the Messiah King are bound to attain the revelation of divinity. And then the spirit of the Messiah King hovers on the engaging and awakens them to come to lishma, as it is written. The light in it reforms them. She adds, and prepares for the inspiration of divinity, which is her mistress. Yet this learning in lo lishma is not suitable to bring them to lishma. Divinity regrets it and says that the spirit of man that rises upwards is not found among those practicing the Torah. Rather, they suffer for the spirit of the beast, which descends, whose engagement in Torah and mitzvot is only for their own benefit and pleasure. This engagement in the Torah cannot bring them to lishma, since the spirit of the Messiah does not hover on them. But leaves them and will not return, because the impure maid robs their Torah and inherits her mistress. Since they are not on the way to come from Lo-Lishma to Lishma, even though they do not succeed through what? Through the practice in the revealed Torah, since there is no life in it, and it is a dry due to the practice of the revealed Torah. And since there is no light in it, and it is dry due to the smallness of the minds, they could still succeed by engaging in study of the Kabbalah. This is because the light in it is enclosed in the clothing of the Creator. The holy names and the Sephirot. They could easily come to that form of Lo Lishmo, Lishma, which brings them to Lishma, and then the Spirit of God would hover on them. Hence, the meaning of Torah Lishma is that the practice of Torah and mitzvot brings one's life and long days. And then the Torah is added as its name, and one does not aim his heart and mind to the aforesaid. The practice of Torah and mitzvot brings one life and long days. And then the Torah is as its name. And one who does not aim his heart and mind to the aforesaid, the practice of Torah and mitzvot brings him the opposite of life and long days, meaning completely lo-lishma, since its name is Torah of life. These words are explained in the words of our sages. One who practices Torah lo-lishma, his Torah becomes a portion of death for him. And one who practices Torah Lishma, his Torah becomes a potion of life for him. However, their words require explanation to understand how and through what does the Holy Torah become a portion of death for him. Not only is his work and exertion in vain, and he needs no benefit from his family, from his labor and strain, but the Torah and the work he receives no benefits from his labor and his strain. But the Torah and the work themselves become a portion of death for him. This is indeed perplexing. A final we must understand. First, we must understand the words of the sages and the Megillah, and who said, I labored and found. Believe. I did not labor and found. Do not believe. We must ask about these words. Labored and found, they seem to contradict each other, since labor refers to work and exertion that one gives in return for any desired possession. For an important possession, one must give great effort. For a lesser possession, one makes lesser efforts. Its opposite is to find. Its conduct is to come to a person absent-mindedly and without any preparation in labor, toil, and price. Hence, how do you say labored and found? And if there is effort here, it should have said labored and purchased, or labored and acquired, and not labored and found. And that is the end of the section that I had prepared. So we will stop here and continue next week when I complete the rest of this page. Does anyone have any questions? No questions. Then I will do announcements, reminding you tomorrow night at 8:30 is a class in advanced reincarnation. And Thursday night at 10 p.m. is a class in the Zohar. And Saturday night at 10 p.m. is a class in the Zohar. It's your first opportunity to do a spiritual action for the week. And Sunday morning at 10:30, we will continue our preparation for the Tishrei holidays. We will be starting on understanding the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. Any questions before I wish you a beautiful week? Have a beautiful week. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Good night. Yeah.